Well, you all know the feeling. I almost don't need to explain to you what it's like, but it's that feeling that kind of starts with like, your stomach sort of almost falling, and then it sort of goes up and your heart just pumps and your hands get a little bit sweaty and your mind just spins and spins and spins and spins and spins. It's the feeling of worry. You didn't need me to tell you what it feels like, do you? You know what worry feels like. It doesn't usually take much to start us to or get us to start worrying, does it? It just kind of can come really quickly, but it can take a lot for it to stop. It can start with just your ringtone, and then that feeling, that worry comes. It can start with having to walk into a room. It can start even just with imagining walking into a room. It can start very quickly, but it can take a lot for it to stop. Big things we worry about, little things, imagined things, predicted things, expected things. We worry, all of us worry, because we are worriers. We worry because we're worriers. And some of us perhaps become kind of super professional worriers the older we get. Isn't that true? Worry is not just something for the young. It's something that happens to all of us. We are all worriers. Now, let me say something before I say anything else. I'm not trained in, well, really anything, but I'm not trained, particularly relevant for now, I'm not trained in medicine or psychology or anything like that. I'm not a mental health expert in any way. So I'm not able, and I'm not going to really address that sort of clinical, diagnosed anxiety, worry. I'm not really talking about that, okay? I think there are connections with what I'm going to talk about, but I'm not trained. I'm not talking about that sort of, you know, diagnosed anxiety, but we're all worriers. And in this world that worries with every breath, Jesus speaks to worriers like you. Whoever you are, whatever you worry about, Jesus speaks to you. He comes to you, and today he will look you in the eye. And in the reading that we have, that we're going to read in a moment, he says three times in this paragraph, do not be anxious. Three times in one paragraph. Do not be anxious. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation that he is inviting you today to not be anxious, to not worry. It's not a command. He's not shouting like an angry teacher or an angry parent, don't worry, stop it. It's not a command, but it's an invitation. It's an invitation to do something when you feel that worry start in your stomach or pound your heart or whir around in your head. It's an invitation that when you feel anxious, when you feel worry, it's an invitation to trust God. Because you can trust your Heavenly Father, your loving Heavenly Father, to take care of you, even when you're worrying and anxious. And that's the sentence that's key for us today. That you can trust your loving Heavenly Father to take care of you. That's the thing that is going to melt your worry. Now, I'm not saying that sentence, I'm going to say it quite a lot this afternoon to help us remember. Again, I'm not saying that sentence is going to sort of change your situation. Like, the thing you're worrying about might still happen. Like, that's not a magic sentence, it's not a magic phrase that's necessarily going to stop the thing you're worrying about from happening. But even if your situation doesn't change, that sentence is the first step to you being changed in that situation. Okay, so your situation might not be changed, but what we're going to talk about this afternoon will change you in your situation. Because when you worry, some of you lack courage. Others of you, perhaps when you worry, you lack peace. Well, here it is. This is the first step. This is one of the key steps. This is sort of the only way to be truly brave. This is the only way to have true peace. This is the only way to have a heart that truly beats for God and not for worry. Are you ready? If you've got a Bible, turn to page 811, page 811. Susanna's going to come and read these verses to us in Matthew chapter 6. She's going to read it in Spanish because that's her heart language. But as always, we're going to have our kind of Trinity Chippenham four languages on the screen so you can follow along. So it's Matthew chapter 6.
Por eso os digo, no os preocupéis por vuestra vida, qué comeréis o beberéis, ni por vuestro cuerpo, cómo os vestiréis. ¿No tiene la vida más valor que la comida y el cuerpo más que la ropa? Fijaos en las aves del cielo, no siembran, ni cosechan, ni almacenan en graneros. Sin embargo, el Padre Celestial las alimenta. ¿No valéis vosotros mucho más que ellas? ¿Quién de vosotros, por mucho que se preocupe, puede añadir una sola hora al curso de su vida? ¿Y por qué os preocupáis por el vestido? Observad cómo crecen los lirios del campo. No trabajan ni hilan. Sin embargo, os digo que ni siquiera Salomón, con todo su esplendor, se vestía como uno de ellos. Si así viste Dios a la hierba que hoy está en el campo y mañana es arrojada al horno, ¿no hará mucho más por vosotros, gente de poca fe? Así que no os preocupéis diciendo, ¿qué comeremos? ¿O qué beberemos? ¿O con qué nos vestiremos? Los paganos andan tras todas estas cosas, pero el Padre Celestial sabe que necesitáis de todo esto. Más bien, buscad primeramente el reino de Dios y su justicia, y todas estas cosas os serán añadidas. Por lo tanto, no os angustiéis por el mañana, el cual tendrá sus propios afanes. Cada día tienes ya sus problemas.
Okay, so keep that open. You'll need to kind of, you can keep referring to that. We'll try not to make that super annoying. Okay, don't worry though. That's funny, for the three people that left, thank you. Okay, in that reading, in our paragraph, our passage for today, Jesus says this. He says, look, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about living it and growing old. Don't be anxious about losing it. Don't be anxious about losing stuff. Don't be anxious about having enough food for your table. Don't be anxious about your body, about how it looks to other people around you. There's more to life than worrying. Does it feel like Jesus is talking directly at you today? Is that a little bit sort of pointed towards you? There's more to life than worrying, Jesus says. He says, when you feel anxious, you can trust your loving Heavenly Father to take care of you. And we say, prove it. Is that one of your first reactions to Jesus saying all that? Don't be anxious about anything. All right, prove it. Because it doesn't feel like I can trust God to take care of me. Like day to day, I don't, like, can he? Jesus tells me I can. Okay, Jesus, prove it. Prove it. So Jesus says, okay, I'll give you three proofs and one sort of so then. Three proofs, one so then. Here we go. Proof number one, it's in verse 26. Three words. Proof number one, birds don't worry. Proof number one. Okay, Jesus, prove it. Okay, birds don't worry, verse 26. Think about it. Birds, well, they have to eat. But they don't stress. You ever spoken to a stressed bird? Maybe not about food. Birds don't stress, do they? They don't stress about producing food. They don't stress about farming. They don't stress about storing food up. They just don't worry about that kind of thing. Now, birds make an effort to look for food. If they're early, they get a worm. I read that. They've got to go and find food. Birds can get sick. Birds die. But birds don't worry. Because God feeds birds. And here's the kicker. What did Jesus say? Are you not of more value than they? Are you not of more value than they? In other words, if God takes care of birds and other animals, let's not, you know, be birdist. God takes care of birds, and he does a good job of feeding them, well then you can trust him to take care of you. Right? Do you see that logic? If God takes care of birds, you can trust him to take care of you. Does your worrying do anything for you? Well, of course not. Like, we know it doesn't. Worrying, Jesus says, worrying, it doesn't give you any more height. It doesn't give you any more time to do stuff. Actually, the opposite. Worry takes away, doesn't it? Worry takes away from time. It takes away from our ability to do stuff. Worry takes away our courage, especially as Christians. Worry can take away our courage to be bold living for Jesus in our lives. Worry takes away peace. Well, the good news for birds is that they get everything they need from God. Birds do fine. You're more valuable than any bird. And that's better good news. It's good news for birds. It's better news for you. See, if you're a Christian, you are God's child. And your dad is the king of the universe. He feeds the birds and they don't worry. So Jesus says, he's going to take care of you too. Proof number one. Birds don't worry. Proof number two, the verses 28, 29, and 30. Flowers don't worry. There you go. This is super deep stuff, isn't it? I'd ask if you've ever met a flower that worried, but this is getting weird. So, see, just like the birds up there, the flowers down here get an awful lot of attention and care from God, don't they? Glenn Scrivener, who's a writer, a preacher, a friend of many in the church, he says this: flowers and grass are intricate and beautiful, but do you know that grass isn't really God's speciality? You are. Let me give you a few seconds just to think that through. Flowered grass, intricate, beautiful, but God's real speciality is you. Do you dare believe what Jesus is saying? It's kind of the same thing. It's in the same area as what he was saying about the birds. Flowers, Jesus says, flowers are, as it were, dressed by God. And they're beautiful. We decorate our houses with them. Our house is more decorated with flowers now than since before I got married, obviously. But we decorate houses with flowers, and they're beautiful. They smell nice. They bring life and joy into a house. But then eventually they wilt, and they die, and we throw them in the bin because they're temporary. That, like, we know that about flowers. They're beautiful and then we chuck them in the bin. You're not temporary. So don't be anxious. You're more valuable than birds. You're more eternal, more beautiful, more cared for than flowers. See, if God goes to all that trouble for temporary things, how much more will he take care of you, who is eternal and made in his image? Do you get that? When you feel anxious, and like I said, this is Jesus inviting us to do this. It's not like feel bad about worrying, not that at all. But it's an invitation and a proof. It's an invitation, so when you do feel anxious, if you can't see any birds, try finding some flowers. Look at the flowers. Flowers don't worry because God takes care of them and he'll take care of you. Have a look down at verse 30. Verse 30. Do you see how in that verse Jesus diagnoses worry? He says, little faith. You of little faith. Why are you worrying, you of little faith? And it's, if you can imagine, it's kind of like this seesaw. If I do that with my arm, you'll know what a seesaw is, right? Seesaw. It's like, if you have little faith, Jesus says, what's up? Worry. Little faith, much worry. That's kind of how this seesaw works. If you have little faith, you have much worry. But you can trust your Heavenly Father to take care of you. But when we have little faith, We don't trust that God can take care of us, so we worry. It's kind of that simple, just a little seesaw, little faith, much worry. We'll put a quote on the screen from Tim Keller. He recently died. He was a Christian pastor, an author, a husband, a father. And he said this: anxiety is a daily statement to God saying, I don't think you have my best interest in mind. That's at the root of worry, of anxiety. Saying to God, I don't think you have my best interest in mind. In other words, when worry kind of attacks us, when worry kind of gets into our stomach and gives us those sweaty hands and shaking legs and the whirring minds that never, never, ever stops, at basis, it's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. When we let that worry drive us, that's the point. When that worry is driving us to just not doing anything, or when it's driving us to do something bad, when we let worry drive us, it's at root, it's a vertical issue. It's not so much about the situation, it's being little faith. It's not trusting God. It's saying to God, I don't think you care about me. Now let me repeat what I said at the beginning. Look, for things like kind of diagnosed clinical anxiety, there's more going on than just that seesaw of lack of faith, okay? If you're here and you have that kind of medical diagnosed sort of struggle with anxiety and mental health, it's not just a lack of faith. It's not just, I'm not just going to say, well, if you, you know, have better faith, then you'll be well. There's more things going on with mental health than just this. But even when you need meds and even when you need counselling, there's still a faith issue going on even within that. So there's more going on, but even within kind of meds and counselling and things, there's still that seesaw of faith and worry. Little faith, much worry. See, so we look out at the world and we're just afraid that God isn't going to get it right. So we think that we need to. And we know we can't cope, so we worry. I know that's oversimplifying some of the steps, but I think at root, that's basically what happens. We wake up, we don't think that God's going to get it right. We have to get things right today. We know we can't, we worry. No peace, no courage. And getting older won't save us. Clearer thinking won't save us. Better choices in life won't save us. See, ultimately, if you're a Christian worrier, then you're behaving like you're not really a Christian. You're acting like God isn't really God and the gospel's not really true. And if you're a Christian, I hope you have a problem with hearing that sentence. That if you're a Christian who just worries and worries and worries and worries, and it gets worse the older you get, you're living like God's not God and the gospel's not true. I don't want to say that that's a problem, but it's still an invitation for you. That if you're a Christian, Jesus is there and he's saying, I'm inviting you not to be worried. I'm inviting you not to be anxious. I'm inviting you not to be driven by your worry. Jesus is inviting you, even if you're a Christian worrier, while you are worrying, to respond to that worry by seeing God for who he is and giving everything to him because he is your loving Heavenly Father. But I want to say something to you that if you're not a Christian, we're glad you're here. We're really glad you're here. But if you're not a Christian, worry is kind of all you've got. Those questions of like eating and drinking and clothing and living and dying, they kind of remain unanswered for you. And the worry that you have if you're not a Christian doesn't surprise me. But still today, Jesus is inviting you. If that's you, if you're not a Christian, if you don't give God a second thought after kind of any other time apart from when you're here, there's still an invitation from Jesus to follow him and to know that the God of the universe is your Father who cares for you. He's the God who knows what you need. That's the third proof. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. That's why we shouldn't worry. God is not dead. God is not disengaged. God cares for you. Now, he might not change the situation. That's worth repeating. The thing that you're worried about might still happen. But you can still trust him, even if that thing does happen. You can still trust him to give you what you need, even when the worst happens. You can trust him to be with you right there in the mess. And that's why he's good. That's why he's loving. That's why he's caring. Because even if he doesn't change that situation for you, and the thing you're worrying about, even if that happens, he's with you. And he'll give you what you need, even in the mess. And that is why there is peace in the midst of worry. That is why there is courage to live boldly. So trust him. Stop trusting anything else. Isn't it the case that when we worry, we trust ourselves or we trust something or someone to solve the situation? You know, we trust getting a promotion, so I've got to work hard to get that. We trust, getting a relationship, so I work hard and pour my energies into doing that. We launch ourselves trustingly into anything when we're anxious. And Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom, and you'll get everything you need. Even if the thing you're worried about happens. Seek first his kingdom, not yours. Verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6 really is like this whole series we're doing, this whole Sermon on the Mount is summarized, is about that sentence in Matthew 6, verse 33. In the middle of all the worrying, the what ifs, the might do's, the just did's, Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom. Go for God first. For all of the reasons that we've seen so far in these 6 weeks in this series, and for all the reasons that we're going to see in the next 4 or 5 weeks of the series, go for God's kingdom first. If you seek anything else first, you'll just drop and fall on the floor. If you go after your own life, you're going to lose it. But if you go after Jesus, you'll get life and more. Because God knows what you need. Birds don't worry. Flowers don't worry. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. So then, fourthly, let tomorrow worry about itself. That's verse 34. Trust God first, breathe, and don't worry. I can't overstate how important those three things are. Trust God, breathe. That's important. And don't worry. Trust God, breathe, and don't worry. Don't even worry about tomorrow, Jesus says. And we say what? Oh yeah, thanks, Jesus. To be honest with you, Jesus, tomorrow was kind of what I was worried about, actually. Tomorrow is kind of where most of my problems are. So don't worry about tomorrow. Like, are you crazy? That's where all my worries are. Well, tomorrow certainly has problems. Not for you guys who finished your exams and there's no more school tomorrow. A lot less problems, right? No more exams. A lot less problems. Everyone else, tomorrow, full of problems. Right? Lots of trouble. Jesus never promises that we're going to avoid struggles or trouble or anything like that. He never promises we're going to avoid stuff like that. But if tomorrow has troubles and struggles, guess what else tomorrow has? God. Tomorrow has God. A caring God who is in control. Now, who of you needs to hear that truth? Tomorrow has trouble, but tomorrow also has God. See, every day has trouble. Every day has trouble. But every day has mercy, and it's new every morning. Every time the sun comes up with it. Mercy from God, mercy from a heavenly Father who cares for you, who is with you in the worrying mess. There's trouble, but there's God. So, leave tomorrow alone. Leave tomorrow alone. There's plenty to worry about today. Except don't switch off from today. Don't just ignore, don't just disengage from today. Like what Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, so ugh, who cares? No, 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 don't disengage. You still need to make decisions, you still need to live, you still need to pursue, you still need to be like a bird and go and find food. You still need to like do stuff. Don't just disengage and just lie down on the floor, but leave tomorrow alone. And with the worries of today, go to God with it. That's the invitation. Go to God without worry today and every day, because your loving Heavenly Father will take care of you today. He's been taking care of you already today. He's going to take care of you the rest of the day. He's going to take care of you while you're sleeping. He's going to take care of you while you're not sleeping because you can't sleep. He's going to take care of you tomorrow. Leave tomorrow. He's going to take care of you today. What does that look like? Obviously, it looks like trusting him with the big stuff. Obviously, it means trusting, kind of going through these things, trusting a good God. It means trusting him with the big stuff, like health and like, you know, money and relationship. Like it means trusting him with the big stuff. Of course it does. It means giving those things over to God. Even when we get older and kind of the health things and then the money things just get a bit louder, perhaps. Louder worries, the volume gets turned up. Jesus says, don't worry, but trust your loving Heavenly Father. So let's turn that up even louder. So trusting him in the big stuff, that's kind of obvious. But actually, this trusting the Lord even when we're worried, even when we're anxious, it also just looks like going to work and doing the shopping and like meeting people for coffee. Like it means just all the normal stuff, but it looks like doing that normal stuff without being driven by worry. So when you work, are you driven by worry? So as you drive your car into work, really is worry driving you? As you drive to meet someone or go to meet someone for coffee or go shopping, are you just being driven, pushed by worry and anxiety? By that worry. Well, it's even in those things, going to work, finding a job, going shopping for food, meeting with people, talking with people, being with family, finding friends. It's just in all of those, they're not little things, but little things. Jesus says, you don't have to be driven by worry and by anxiety. Even in those things, he says, give up your worry to the one who gave his life for you. So stop grabbing at money. Stop grabbing at clothes. Stop grabbing at comfort, security. Just stop grabbing at stuff like that. Stop grabbing at stuff. As if that's going to fill your worry. It's just going to fuel your worry. It's going to make it worse. Stop grabbing at stuff, but grab him. Grab Jesus. Grab your Father who has you in heaven. Remember the seesaw? You've got worry and you've got Jesus. What are you going to grab? Which way is the seesaw going? Little faith, much worry. Big faith, less worry. You've got worry, you've got Jesus. Which way are you going to go? What are you going to grab onto today? When you wake up tomorrow, which are you going to grab onto? Because just as we finish, if God cares for birds, how much more does he care for you? If God clothes flowers, how much more you? If he gave you Jesus, who came and gave his life on a cross for you, can you rely on him for the day-to-day stuff? See, where's that seesaw going? Even if you lose everything, and maybe you will, even if you lose everything, your food and your clothes, your ability to pay for food and clothes, if you lose your reputation, your health, and your life, well, you won't lose him. That's it. Even if you lose everything, you won't lose God, because his love will never let you go. So why worry about that stuff? Go for him. Grab him. Some of us are professional worriers from the moment that we wake up, or at least the moment we get out of bed, because if we're professional worriers, we're probably not sleeping that well either. So from the moment we get up, some of us are professional worriers. Some of you, the older you've got, the more professional you are at worrying. Jesus invites us to stop. Jesus invites us to stop worrying like that. He invites you to stop living like God is dead and you're on your own. See, too many of us, me included sometimes, too many of us are paralyzed by the what ifs. Like, we're lacking peace, we're lacking courage. Worry is driving us, just emptying us of peace and courage. None of the things that you worry about today cause God anxiety. Do you know that? None of the things that you worry about, God is worried about. None of them. So today, when you feel anxious, trust your loving Heavenly Father to take care of you. Even in the worst, he holds you. So will you grab onto him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this afternoon as worriers. Some of us, I guess, Father, it's a bit more obvious that we worry. Some of us are better at hiding it from each other. But we come to you, all of us, as worriers, and we want to be people, Father, who give you our worries. Help all of us to trust you. Thank you that you are our Father in heaven. Thank you that you are a loving Father in heaven. Thank you that you are a loving Father in heaven who cares for us. Even when we think things are terrible, you are still with us, you still love us, you still care for us. And I pray that all of us, Father, that our hearts would be turned to you, that our hearts would beat for you and not for the things that worry us. Please, Father, show us the things where we need to give to you and to stop worrying. Thank you for the invitation that we can trust you because you are good. Amen.